recognize truly a great neshama. He says, let me tell you, he says, what I heard from my own father, who was Tzemach Tzedek, and you'll see how the great koyach even of a push to Yid in Eretz Yisrael. He said that Yishalayim, he says, living around Yishalayim, there was a push to Yid. Push to Yid in those days, Bechlal, he didn't know how to even, you know, Ivrit, wasn't able to daven from a siddur directly. All he knew was basically things that he picked up here and there. Certainly he didn't know any Perish HaMilis in Tfilah and so on and so forth. Nishtadus, he didn't even know the Seder HaTfilah. Did not push it to say that Tfilah v'zoymed atzam, what comes first, what comes second. What do you daven this day, what do you daven that day? He didn't know. So B'derech Klal, every week he used to go to Yerushalayim, because he did business, so he used to sell vegetables and so on and so forth. So that was his panosis. So he'd go into one of the Rabbon of Yerushalayim, and which was the Rav, and the Rav would write him a tzettel. Every week he would give him a tzettel of how to daven this week. That wasn't enough just to tell him a klal, you know, on the weekdays this is what you do, and Shabbos, you know, you add this and you leave out this. This one would be all tzimisht. So every week he needed a special tzettel. He had a special tzettel for that week. And this is how he did on the, basically, this is how he did. He came week in, week out. Once he comes, it was Epis in the Chodesh Cheshvan. So he comes to the Rav, and he asked that the Rav should give him, he said, a head, that you give him a Seder for the next few weeks ahead of time. He says, because Cheshvan already says it begins, there's a lot of rain, and so on and so forth, it's very difficult to travel, so he's not going to come every week on a weekly basis, so he needs the Seder a few weeks in advance. Can't come to Yerushalayim. So the Rav did it for him. So Machzachep is the second week, he Davke had to come to Yerushalayim. No. And he comes to Yerushalayim, and he sees Epis, he's very surprised, all the stores were closed. He says, all the stores were closed, the Jewish stores were closed. He said, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe it's Shabbos. He made a mistake in the day of the week. So he still didn't get off his chamor. He still sits there. And he sees a Sayyid coming on, walking with talis and tefillin. No, so obviously he knows it's not Shabbos. That mistake he didn't make. So the Shaila was, no, so what's up, Kosovan? So what's, why is today different than the other day? So he goes to the Yid, and he asks the Yid. The Yid was walking talis and tefillin, says, what's in you today? So the Yid says to him, what do you mean? It's a Tanis Tzibur today. It's a Tanis Tzibur. That's what the stores were closed. Because everybody's in shul, extra tefillah. It was a Tanis Tzibur. Tanis Tzibur is very upset. How come the Rav didn't write down on my tzettel? He says that this and this day, this is going to be a Tanis Tzibur. So he runs to the shul. First he goes to the Rav's house. It's not there. It's in shul. So he runs back to the shul. And he goes up to the Rav and he says, he starts to cry, Rabbi, what did you do to me? He says, I don't understand. What happened? So the Yid says, what do you mean what happened? He says, today's the Tanis Tzibur. He says, and the Rav didn't write down the Seder of today for Tanis Tzibur. And the Rav says, take it easy, keep calm, relax. He says, today's not a Tanis Tzibur Kavua. It's a special, but Goyzer Tanis gets a private Tanis that the Kilo was Goyzer because Achivas Gishom, it didn't rain for a long time. So Mela said, we were Goyzer Tanis. So the Yid says, what? You're Goyzer Tanis because of no rain? So the Rebbe looks at him and says to him, he says, well, what else do you think we should do? He says, do what I do. He says, you see, I'm the vegetable business, the seed says. He says, and my success and my tzloch is, he says, that the tefuah grows properly. He says, whenever I don't have enough rain, I go out, he says, into the yard, into the chotzer, and say, Rebbeinu Shloimeh, ich Shloimeh, I need rain. And it begins to rain. So the Rebbe says, try it over here. So he goes out into the chutz of the Beit HaKnesses, and he says, with the belief shown, but the Tmi says, Rabbi Shloim, the Yid need rain, and he brought rain. So says the Rebbe Marashah, this is what I heard from my father, Tzemach Tzedek. He said, he was a push to Yid, Ahoich and Neshoma, he said. So you never maybe, you don't know, who. Lach Yid really, in fact, has Ahoich and Neshoma. We start today, actually, which is Perik Ches in the Tanya. So we're beginning really a new Perik. As you notice, the Lush of the Tanya, where the Tanya begins, Va'oid Zois, and this as well. So remember, because in the previous week, we learned that when a person eats an Isser B'mezit, the Machal is not kosher, nevertheless he eats it, it's not Shaykh to be Mala that L'Kiddusha anymore. Because an Isser is connected and draws its yenike from the sholish klippos hatmeyos, and anything which draws its yenike, its chiyus, its vitality from the sholish klippos hatmeyos, the Tanya said you cannot be mala lekedusha. It's only, he said, if somebody eats a dover heter, which is eaten l'shem taive, which is not eaten l'shem shemayim, where thereby through his achile, he dragged it down, and he brought it to be connected with the sholish klippis atameis, that he can raise up again, either through tshuva, he said the Tanya, or ultimately, of course, when Mashiach comes, then all of the impurities will be removed. So the Tanya pointed out that when someone eats a Dvar Isser, someone eats something which is a Dover Osser, which the Yisoid of the Chiyus of that Dover Isser is from the Sholish Klippos HaTameyos, so this is something that cannot be elevated anymore to Kedusha. Because the Dover Isser, something that the Torah Osser, something that is Osser Be'etzim, is connected to the Sholish Klippos HaTameyos. Now, but Derech Klal, when we think about it, that means because someone basically was over an Isser, in other words, the Torah said not to eat something, Torah says not to do something, we go ahead and we do it. So it means that the person who actually violated, who did this particular Maisa Isser, so now this particular Maisa Isser, this particular act that he did, cannot be elevated to Kedusha. The Tanya goes on to say that that's even more than that. He says the truth is that it has nothing to do, he says, with the fact that the person intended even to do an Isser by eating a machal that's Isser. He says, it has to do with the chefetz. It's not mitzad de gavre. It has nothing to do with the extent of the intent of the person, whether he wanted to do an isser or not. If the person, says the Tanya, he wants to give us the idea how deeply connected the yerida of the sholish klippos hatmeis regarding a dover isser is inherent in the chefetz. It has nothing to do with mitzad de gavre, whether the gavre intended or he had kavanah to be over an isser. And there the Tanya goes along and begins that the Yoid Zois, that I want you to know that there's also another aspect, another Nakuda, the Macholes Asuras, in the area of Macholes Asuras. And that's why, by the way, you remember that Tanya said, as I mentioned last week, what's the reason that an Isser is called an Isser and a Heter is called something that's a Mutter? Because Isser means it's gebinden, it's bound, it's connected, it's chained. What is it chained? It means it's chained to the Sholish Klippos HaTameis and can't be removed. You can't be mala that to Kedusha. However, something that's a dover mutter be'etzem, even though someone can temporarily, he can be yirid it, right? And can cause a yirida to be connected to the sholish klippos atameis, but it's mutter, it's really, it's open, it's untied. It's not connected necessarily, and you're still able to be mala the Kedusha. So the Tanya goes and says, when you have macholes asuros, by the aspect of its definition alone, being that it's called Macholis Asuris, Shalakach Nikroim B'Shem Isser, for the very fact that it's called Isser means it's attached, it's connected, it's a Mekusher, Mipnei, because this is true, She'af mi she'ochal machal Isser b'loy hoida. Even if someone eats a machal Isser, means B'Shoigik, not knowing it, right? Even more than that, imagine, he's eating a Dover Isser, he's eating it B'Shoigik. His intentions certainly were not bad. Let's go even further. Not knowing that it's osur, and he eats it l'shem shemayim. As if it's a dover heter mamish, that he wants to eat l'shem shemayim. That's the highest level, where a person is oisik in achila, and he's doing l'shem shemayim, which is an avodas Hashem in achila. So he's eating a dover iser, b'shoigik, not at all b'mezit. And he's doing it l'shem shemayim. L'avod Hashem b'koyach achila hi. Because he wants to serve the Rebbeinu Shloim right with the koyach, with the energy that is derived from this achila. Let's remember again, when a person, b'derech klal, when he does eat something that, in fact, is a machal heter, and he eats it l'shem shemayim, as the Tanya pointed out, that anything that a person eats, something that's permitted, all of the actions, whether machshova, maisin, and dibur, the Tanya said, the koich achius of dvorim amiturim come from klipas noiga. Klipas noiga is something that can go either way, which means that if a person, in fact, does eat it l'shem shemayim, that of course, then he separates the chelik hatoy from the chelik hara, and it becomes elevated to Kedusha. The time went on to say even more, that said, even if a person, let's say, ate it Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim, so at that point, temporarily, he did, right? He caused to degrade it, however, and to lower it, but if he takes that energy, ultimately, after the Achila, even though the Achila itself was not L'Shem Shemayim, but he takes that Koyach and takes that energy, and he's Oved Hashem, so then again, he's being Mala it L'Kedusha. That's what's called the Dover HaMutter. Mutter means it's unbound, it's not attached to the Koyach Zatameis and to the Yerida, which it had, this temporary nefila. So the Tanya says, if a person takes, in this case, he's talking about a Dover Isser. He takes, in fact, a Dover Isser, which he had kavona to eat l'shem shemayim, lavid Hashem. And by the way, not only had kavona to eat l'shem shemayim, in fact, he carried it out. He did. His kavona was to eat l'shem shemayim. Why? Because let's say he wants to be able to daven better, to learn better. And guess what? He did. As a result of this achilas iser, which not only ate it b'shoigik, not only did he eat it l'shem shemayim, he actually carried out the l'shem shemayim. He carried out all of the purposes of his plan in the highest possible level. The only thing was, he ate a davar iser. So the Tanya says, "Vegam po alvosa kein," that even, he continues further, that even if he was successful in his intentions, for the reason of his eating was in order to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'koro v'hispalel b'koyach achila ahi, right? And he went ahead, and he studied, he learned, he was mispalel b'koyach of this achila. Says the Tanya, I want you to know that ein achius shebo oile umislabeshes b'teves ha-toyre v'atfila kemoya heter. The chius of this mice, he says, will not become clothed in the words of Torah that he studies and that he davens, right? As it would have been in the case of had he eaten edover heter, mipnei, because isura b'yedei ha-sitra achra misholish klipas ha-tmeis. Because this mice is held captive. This mice is being held captive in the sholish klipas ha-tmeis by the very fact that it is osir. Which means the sholish klipas ha-tmeis do not allow the energy to be elevated to Kedusha. Even though the Maisa, you'll say to yourself, I use the Koyach of the Dover Iser for a Dover Shebe Kedusha. I use the energy and I use the Koyach, I use the vitality to be able to daven better, to learn better, to do Maisa acts of Chesed better. But nevertheless, this being that this Koyach of energy, the source of this Koyach of energy came from a Dover Iser, Mamel Tanya says, it's Osir, it's bound, it's attached, it's connected, which does not allow it to be elevated to Kedusha. And the Tanya goes on and says further. He says, "Va'afilu," and even if this would be an Isur D'Rabbanon, this is an amazing thing. The Koyach of the Chachamim. Not only is this true, that a Maisa Isur of a Dover Isur, when he eats a Dover Isur, that can never be elevated to Kedusha, is when he eats something that the Torah assert, but even if it's only an Isur D'Rabbanon, if the person ate something that is only forbidden on a rabbinic level, that Rabbanon asked it, min haTorah, it's perfectly heter. Nevertheless, shechamurim divrei soifrim yosim divrei Torah. Because we find that the iser of the Rabbanon in certain aspects, we find Chazal say, are even more stricter than the words of Torah. So the Tanya tells us an amazing thing regarding even the koyach of an iser Rabbanon. Iser Rabbanon. Various aspects, various areas of Yisur and Rabbanon. We know that, which basically seems, which would be L'choy Mevuyer here from the words of the Tanya, and the Tanya is going to talk about how the Yetzirah in fact works on a person in order to bring him to do a Dvar Yisur. The Yetzirah works on many ways, because what we're talking about is the worst way for a person would be to be Nichshol in a Dvar Yisur, Mamish in a Machal Yisur. That would be the ultimate. But in an innocent way, where the Yitzhar doesn't feel threatened or feel that he has to hide, is when a person is eating a Dover Heter, so the person is already doing the Maisa, where the Yitzhar's aspect is to take the person and to entice him that he eats it Kula Shleil Shem Shemayim, not to use energy for Avodas Hashem, but to eat it Mamish L'Shem Taiva, which this is a situation where a person is not aware of to protect himself. The person is not aware of to protect himself. And the Tanya talks about even about the tremendous consequences where the Iser, when a person does eat a Dover Iser, to the extent even if it's only an Iser Drabonon. So, B'der Klal, Mulchomen Ruchnius is the same way as is Mulchomen Gashemius. When you have Mulchomen Gashemius, there are two types of ammunition. You have ammunition basically that work, you have hand-to-hand combat, where you have the two opposing sides very close to each other. Then you have various types of weaponry, which basically are for distance. We're far, far away. Yitzhahara also works in different ways. There's situations where he's loichim with the person, so to speak, face to face, and that's a situation where it's a taivishal heter. Yitzhahara is right there. You're eating a taivishal heter. Person doesn't feel threatened at all. And the mamish right there. It's right in front of him. He's eating a dover heter. He has the situation that it can become nichshol immediately here. That's one loichim where the Yitzhahara is trying to be machshol a person. And certainly the ultimate is from a distance where a person, right, might not, where It's hard to try to be machshum dvarim hasurim, as the Tanya said, beloy hoida, not even being aware what he's doing altogether. He's not aware. He doesn't aware that he's ingesting something which is a dover iser. There's a ma'aseh that is said over that a yid came to the Balatanya when he was in Liozhne. They came to the Balatanya and he says, I don't understand. He says he came with his son-in-law. The shver came with his idem. And the shver came and complained to the Tanya, said, I don't know what happened to what came over my son-in-law, that all of a sudden he has sveikus and amuna. Something he never had before. Sveikus and amuna. Why sveikus and amuna? So the Tanya said to him, you know why? Because it was nichshel below yoidim, he said, in cholavakum. He says, it was nichshel below yoidim, he says, in cholavakum. And he gave him a tikkun lamais. The point is, try to bring that, even though something which is an issa drabonon, you can have the effects. But filo issa drabonon, he says, shechamurim divrisayfrim, where divrisayfrim, it says, we find a chazal can sometimes be more chomer than divrei Torah. Interesting thing, bechlal, you might remember what Rashi tells us in Parshish, by the way, Parsha Sazria, which follows Parsha Shmini, which is the Parsha that tells us about the Macholes Asuras. Lahavdul Bein, right? Bein Atoma, Bein Atoe, Bein Achaya, Hanacheles, Bein Achaya, right, which cannot be eaten, all the various animals. And then comes Parsha Sazria, which deals with Ishikis Sazria Beyolda Zohar. And Rashi says there that Rav Simloed Gedarshin, Rav Simloed says that we find that Kishem, the same way that the Yetzira Shel Adam, in creation, man was created at the end, the Torah of man also, Rashi says, Kach Torosoi Nisparisho Acha Torahs Behei Machayev Yoif. First the Torah discusses in Parsha Shemini the Torah of Behemoth and Chayes, and then comes Parsha Sazria. The same order of creation. First come the Behemoth and the Chayes, and then comes man, Parsha Bereishis. So also with discussing the Torah, also says later. So the Sforma Gdoshim will point out that the truth is, a David HaMelech says on himself, he says the Lashon, V'ani Tefillah. The ani tefillah. What do you mean? I am tefillah. I daven. What do you mean? I am tefillah. The ani tefillah. The Sforma Gdoshim points out that a situation that a person is oisik, that a person basically is connected with, any pu'ula that a person is connected with, becomes part of them, becomes a chelik of his being. You say lahavli. You say it in the secular world also. You say that music is his life. You say his life. Something he likes to do. He's identified. That's mamish's life. That's his situation. Electrician once told me, he says, the skill of fixing, he says, and repairing, he says, this is my right hand, this is what he says, that's him, becomes identified with that. Something that a person is oisik very much, he's connected with it, he's attached to it, he has a feeling for it, he's oisik with it, but Agilis, he becomes identified with that, becomes identified. So the Melech was Machaber Sefer Tehillim, he becomes a shtik tefillin. Vani tefillin. Not that I'm a yid that davens, I actually feel as part of me. But I need feel, I become part. And therefore we find machtois, it says, hachatoim hoele. Hachoitim, it should say, by Koirach. Hachatoim. People are consistently or continuously oisikin chet, they become a shtik chet themselves. You become that which you do ultimately. You know, so it's not just machtois hachoitim, it's the chatoim. So says the Nesivus in Sefer Nachlas Yaakov. Aspects and areas that a person conducts himself, and he does these things over and over again, he becomes identified with those pu'ulas, with those maisim. And the Evatakir and Shlomo brings them Parashas Sazria, says that's what the Torah asked to eat chayis and oifis. Why? Because they have the midas achzorius and the midas royis, and therefore the person becomes what you eat, right? And therefore, so they are metamtim as aleif. Chazal tell us that dvorim asurim, macholas asurim, they're metamtim as aleif. Same thing comes out that macholas, the Tanya tells us that foods which are basically mutter, if a person basically eats l'shem taive, you become a bal taive. It doesn't stop only with achila. It's just a general way of life. You become that which you are oisikin. A person bechlal who allows himself and does not curb himself, a person does not learn self-control. So maybe one thing just leads to another, and b'derekhal his life becomes a life of taive. This is the way the situation is. Which means that he lusts for more taiva and he needs more taiva. Whether it's in the area of money, we say Yeshua Mona writes a Messiah, but it's in food also, though, and in every area. In every area of taiva, just one brings the first taiva, brings the second, the third, and just builds. One thing just builds and it feeds on itself, and so on and so forth. You say, Nodem Godel once said, a Goyen once was asked by a Posh Tayid, he says, that I don't understand. He says, it says, Dvorma Yosem Alev Nechnosem Al Alev. He says, he's saying this to the Sodom Godel. He says, I'm sure that you said a drosha, your drosha zikha was Yosem Al Alev. How come it didn't make a roshim? How come it wasn't Nechnosem Al Alev? So he says, Nechnosem Al Alev, if there's a lave to go into, it's Nechnosem Al Alev. Unfortunately, there's no lave over there anymore. He says, Hashmein lave home. You know what the Pasuk says. So it talks about the lave. Vaseroys is lave ho even, as the Novi says. There's no lave. If there's at least some lave left, so there's Dvar Mayotzim in a lave, from one aspect it can go into the lave. But what happens? There's no lave. The lave is just not there anymore. And this is the Nekuda. The Nekuda is that you become basically that which a person is continuously oisikin. That what he's ruggled to do, that's basically what the person, what he becomes. So the interesting thing, you know, Chazal tell us, we know that, of course, being bitten by a snake is very dangerous. It's poisonous, we know that. The Chazal tell us, which is the Gemara of the Kamach of Gimel, it says, Eres Nochosh, the poison of the snake is Ben Shinov, between the teeth. Shabrachu created, right, the poison, the venom. And the Gemara says, where is it? Eres Nochosh is Ben Shinov. The Sfar Magdoshim says, of course, everything is at Dvar Musar. We know that the Yetzirah that we have after the Chait of the Yetzadas, of course, is the Nochosh. That's referred to. The Yetzirah is the Nochosh. With the Nochosh HaKadmoini, it's continuous, Pu'ulas of the Nochosh. Nochosh didn't stop, Adrabe. Now we brought the Yetzirah that used to be from without, as the Nefesh HaChaim says, before the Chet of Yetzadas. Obviously there was the Nochosh enticing Adam, but that's the Yetzirah HaChitzoini. After the Chet of Yetzadas, became the Yetzirah HaPnimi. The Yetzirah went into him. Rashi also says, V'nichnas bo Yetzirah. So it's Rashi embraces. Went in. So he said like this. So the Nochosh tries to degrade a person. Should have a nefila, should have a yerida. The Nochosh, the Yetzirah, puts in all of his kreiches that a person should not be able to rise in avodas Hashem. What is one of the easiest areas, one of the best areas, you know, that he's looking for? Eres Nochosh. The poison that the Nochosh tries to inject is Ben Shinov, is between the teeth, means by the achila, the Nayidest. Ben Shinov, what's doing between your teeth? Yetzirah knows, there's a lot of Dvorma Maturim you'll have to eat, but half my job is already over. You have to eat, survive, you have to eat. Midrashes. From Hamutorim. These are things that are mutter. But I will work on you that what? That your whole life should be a life of taiva. You should concentrate on taiva. And once you become, right? Once you become connected and attached to the inyonim of taiva, one taiva just leads to another taiva. It just branches out from there, it just goes further. So the Eres Nochosh, which is the poison of the Nochosh, means the Nochosh HaKadmoini, is Bein Shinov. It's between the teeth. That's where it is. So therefore, you're talking, going back to Reb Simloi, when Reb Simloi says, if you remember, that Kishem Shi Yitzirosa Shel Adam, just like the creation of man, Bereshis, is Achar, is after where? Behemachai V'yoiv. So he says, Kach Toirosoi Mispareshis, he says, Achar Behemachai V'yoiv. It means like this. Your Madragan Torah is going to be how your Achila is when you eat the Behemoth and the Chai. Toirosoi Mispareshis. The person's Hasogin Torah, the person's Ali and Avodas Hashem, your Torah is going to express itself Acha Behemachai Voif. The Torah gives you a regimen of Behemachai Voif, which you're permitted to eat, depending on how your relationship is with these things that the Torah is teaching you. You're not allowed to eat it, but your attitude and your connection to these things, Torosa Mispareshes, which means your Torah is going to be expressed Acha Behemachai Voif according to your relationship with your Achila regarding Behemachai Voif. So these are the issues. When the Tanya here is talking about even an Issa Drabonon, because in the Olam HaTorah, in the world of Lomdus, there is in fact a big machlokes between the Ktois HaChoshen and the Nesivis. It's a big Shailan Dachroinim. You know, when Drabonon asks for something, they say you shouldn't eat something. Take, for example, Chometz Shovah Olav HaPesach. Right? People are very makpid to find out which stores, right, are you allowed to buy from. Not allowed to eat stores, right, that had Chometz, Jewish owned. Can't eat. Chometz Shovah Olav HaPesach, a very common push. The example, Tanisid Rabbonon. And I tell you, there's no problem. When Rabbonon, it's an Issa. Any Issa Rabbonon, is it only an Issa on the person, on the Gavra? The Chachomet said, you don't eat it. But the Chomet itself is not an Issa Chefetz. There's no Issa inherent in the Chefetz. Because it's not really an Issa Chomet here. The Torah allowed it. And the Chachomet don't have a koich to change the constitution of an item. You can't change the genetic makeup. It's not an Issa. The Chachomet can say, you know what? I don't want you to eat it. Fine. The Torah says, the Chachomet have a koich to impose, right? Restrictions on people, on Klal Yisrael. So it's only Nisa Gavra. On the other hand, maybe the Kleich of the Chachamim is to go even further. When the Chachamim say that something osur, it becomes osur. Even though Misheshes and Mebreshes, when it was brought into this world, the Rebbein Shloim, right? Anything that was created, this is a Dover Heter. So Mitzadetz Bria, this is a Dover Hamuter. But when the Chachamim decided somewhere, anytime, that this becomes osur, so they change the whole Metzias of this Dover. This turns into a Chefet Shalisur. And that's a big Shaila. And it is known that the Nesivis in Simeresh Lamadalad in Choshe Mishpat, the Nesivis is of the opinion, the way the Achroinim understand, explain the Nesivis. The Nesivis says that someone eats an Isad Rabbonon Bishoigig does not eat a Kapora. Someone eats an Isad Rabbonon Bishoigig, not knowing. He does not need a Kapora. Say, why? Why don't you need any Kapora? We know there's such a concept of a carbon, right? You have to bring Bishoigig, right? And even those Veiris that don't have a carbon should do Tshuva. They do Tshuva Bishoigig. Why an Issa Drabon does not eat anything, no kapara whatsoever? So the Achroin Ramaz, this Rabbi Yosef Engel and Sefer Asfan Deraisa, and so on many other Achroinim, which talk about it. Rabbi Yosef Engel talks about it in Sefer Beis Oitzer, he talks about it in Sefer Tzionim L'Teira, Rabbi Chanan talks about it in Sefer Kovitz Biurim to Masechtas Gittin, Shemishkop talks about it in Shari Yosh, and so on and so forth. It's discussed very much in the Olam HaTor in the Lomdisha. So as I mentioned, it says because an Issa Deraisa, when you eat an Issa Deraisa is an Issa on the Chayfetz, it's Issa Chayfetzah. So regardless whether you had kavon or not, if you eat something that's an isser cheftza, the metzias is an isser went into your system, so you need a kapara. If someone, let's say, would eat something that's physically, right, damaging, forget about spiritually, it's going to harm you, regardless whether you want to eat or not. Somebody's going to swallow poison. So the fact that he doesn't know about it doesn't mean it's not going to kill him. The metzias is the poison went into your system. There's damage being done. The kavana has nothing to do with it. It's a metzias. If someone eats an Issa Deraisa, it's an Issa Chayfetz, regardless of what your Kavana was, but the Issa Chayfetz went in. There's a requirement, there's a need for a Kapora. However, an Issa Drabonon, the Rabbonon never asked the Chayfetz. The only Issa that the Rabbonon can impose is on the person. If the person's a Shaygig, then there's no Issa, not Mitzad the Chayfetz, not Mitzad the person. The person wasn't Daiver because he did it the Shaygig. And Mitzad the Chayfetz, there never was an Issa. That's the reason that the Nesiva says that, the way the Achronim understand that an Issa Drabonon B'Shaygig does not need a Kapora. Sarasheni, as I said, Rabbi Chodem before, in a number of places, seems to try to bring rayas that an Isser Drabonon, Drabonon can answer the Chayfetz as well. Drabonon have a kohef to answer the Chayfetz as well. And also Rabbi Meir Simcha discusses it in Meshech Chochem and Parsha Shoftim. So this is a well-known Shaila. What appears here is from the Tanya. What appears what we see here is from the Tanya, that the Tanya said that Afilu an Isser Drabonon, right? If a person eats even an Isser Drabonon, not knowingly, right? Is connected, he will be connected, this mite will always be connected, the Sholish Klippus at Tamez, is Mashram, the Tanya holds that the Koyach of an Isser Drabonon is to actually to convert it and to make it into an Isser Mamish. That's the Koyach of the Drabonon. You have to realize what that means. That the Koyach, the Drabonon can actually take something that even though Mesheshes Mepresh is based upon whatever it has inside, has nothing to do with Isser. When the Drabonon decided it's Osir, now all of a sudden they changed the Mitzias of this Chayfetz, and now it becomes a Chayfetz Shalisser. So what I mentioned to you, just to show you this concept, how the koich of the Rabbanah are to change the mitzias, you know, of how way things are. Everybody's familiar, but today we don't have these problems, because we have electricity, and we have wax candles as well, if you need, if there's a blackout. But in days of old, they used oil lamps. And Nikur Din of the Gemara, we know that the person Friday night, L'yikra L'ar Aner, person's not allowed to read in front of an oil lamp, out of the concern of Shema Yata, because in case it begins to flicker, right, just reflexive and to be, just be very instinctive, that a person would come to tilt an air. If you could tilt an air, you're going to be Yoivan Mavir, which is the Malacha Deraisa. You might remember what the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis, that Omer Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, Ani Ekra V'layate. He says, I will read it, I don't have to worry about it. You know, he had tremendous drive to learn, and the so what do you do? The Chachamim said you're not allowed to read Lara there. So he said it's only a gzeira, right? It's only a gzeira. You know what? I'll be careful. On the ekrav layate. The Gemara says, Pamachas, Kora. So what he did, actually, he read in front of a ner, Ubikish lahatois. And in fact, he just about almost did it. And one Gerson in the Gemara says that in fact he did. Right, he did. And the Gemara says that he thought that he actually did. And the Gemara says, so he wrote down in his little ledger, he said that Shibon Beis Amigdosh says, I will bring a chata shemena. Or bring a fat chatas. But be as it may, Rabbi Shmuel, when he saw what happened, even if he almost did it, but he saw that even him, no one is invulnerable. So he said, "Kama gedolim divrei chachamim shoyoyimrim lo yikra lor aner." Reb Nosson, by the way, was the one that said that korah the hita. So he says, so the Tver Shloimer, Shloimer Radonske, says the Radonske Rebbe. So he says in the Sefer Tver Shloimer, the Mamorim of Shabbos, he's saying "Kama gedolim divrei chachamim." This expression of "Kama gedolim divrei chachamim," you know what it means? He says like this. He says, when the chachamim made a gzeira, and they said the words lo yikra lor aner. Why? Because shema yate. This becomes now the Metzius. Which means to say that even, let's say, prior to the Gzeira, you might have been a person that could have avoided it. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you happen to be a person that you could have avoided it. You're able to read in front of a lamp and not getting involved with an Isra of Shabbos. But the Chachomim now said, Lo Yikra Lo Aner. And why did they say Lo Yikra Lo Aner? Because Shema Yate, because you might come to tilt an air. Once the Chachomim said, Lo Yikra Shemayate, this now becomes a Metzius. Which means even a great person like Rabbi Shmuel, he sees Kame Gedoilim Divrei Chachomim. The fact that Chachomim said it, that turned into a fact now. That's the credit of Chachomim. They changed the whole Metzius. And even a great man like Rabbi Shmuel, that's why he felt so confident. He knew himself. Possibly even before the Gzeirah. Gzeirah came at a certain time. Whatever it was. But upon him, he felt that he was strong enough. He's not prone to do that. He doesn't do that. And maybe during the week he saw he never had such a problem. But the Chachamim said on Shabbos Friday night, Lo Yikra Lo Aner, Shemayate. Once the Chachamim said made this gzera, once the Chachamim said that this is so, this now became a Metzius. Kama Gedolim, that's the expression says the Tver Shloimer. That's the emphasis of the Kama Gedolim, how great the words of the Chachamim, the impact of what the Chachamim. Because once the Chachamim say something, then this becomes a fact. They turn this into a reality. They turn this, in fact, into a Metzius. So let me just leave you because I want to move on. But it's just so fascinating. You know, the Shinya Rebbe, the Shinya Rebbe says in Sefer Divi Yecheskel, he says, regarding in the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Chof Aleph, the Gemara talks about, you know, when it comes to Yaguna, that's a fascinating halacha, by the way. You know, on the one hand, you realize how Chazal bend over backwards. This is very important to know, you know, those various groups, you know, to be Matir and Aguna, that you should not be, right? You should not be chained, in fact, because Chachomim, if you will, you know, when it comes to be Matir Aguna, Kemat, all of the regular halachas and hilchas edis and in have been moved aside. Whereas the halachas normally you need shnayim edim. For dovah shebeav you need two edis. For aguna, to be mad, you don't need two edis. In eid echot, if even one eid comes and says, meis balech, right? I saw that your husband died, she prevented to get married. Okay, there's a svar because there's an eid echot, the chazoke isha dai kominsava, that she's also going to investigate a little bit. But the point is, we don't find such a thing in Eid Echad. Chazal should rely on Eid Echad. The Aguna, they did that. They also relied on the Eidus of a woman. If it didn't tell you a woman is possible Eidus, and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, the Gaba Aguna relaxed that. And so on and so forth. So many different examples. The Gemara uses the Lashon, common Lashon Gemara, in Gittin also Dav Gimel. Be Iguna Akilu Bo Rabbonon. When it comes to the union of Aguna, the Rabbonon were Mekel. You make up to a point, as far as you can. So they're Mekel. And yet, look at this, a fascinating halacha. This was very much in the game, by the way, when the Titanic sank. No, sank in the ocean. There was no proof that every person, I mean, you have persons that were accounted for, that, you know, that were on the boat, but you didn't find them all dead. Logic dictates they probably are dead. They didn't show up. Some survived, you know, the boats went one way or another. The Gemara says that Nofel, if somebody falls in, L'mayim she'ein lem soif. That's an ocean, a sea. Mayim shenlam soif. An endless ocean, a vast ocean. The din is that ishtei asura. His wife is osir. In other words, if we do not find him dead, she's osir. It would seem to be against logic. If he falls into an ocean, how is he safe? How did he get safe? Logic would say, so Gemara says, who knows? He fell in over here, and he came out somewhere over there. Mod nazach. All of a sudden seems a radical change. A radical change from the pattern of how the Chachamim deal with Agunas. When it comes to Agunas, we're always trying to be Mekel. And here we're Machmer on her. We're saying that if he falls into a Mayim Shem Lam Soyd, it's Ishtoy Asura. More tells us a story of Rabbi Akiva. But that was the famous story which Rabbi Meir Shapiro based his, when he founded Daf Yomi. Rabbi Akiva was also on a boat, by the way. And Rabbi Akiva, the boat sank. So Mar says, when he came, they asked him, Omar Tiloid. Mar says, Rabbi Gamliel tells the story. He says, "Me halacha, who raised you up? Amali daf shel tzvina is damali. Meir Shapiro used that daf shel tzvina. Daf means the daf yomi. He says the boat on the ocean is symbolic. You know, to this world of turmoil, the world of confusion. This is a journey that we're going through. And what saves us from this, from crossing this ocean, from crossing this dangerous journey? Daf. He said it was the daf. He said this play on words on the daf yomi. Anyway, so it was a daf. So here happened, lo and behold, a nest, tremendous nest. This daf, it's a board, came by. So he's able to grab hold of this board and begin, sir. Finally, he came to shore, and he was safe. Oh, all of a sudden they realized that it's shy for a person, right? It's shy for a person to find himself lost in an ocean, and he comes out alive. So the Gemara says, "Omarti boyse shor kam gedolim divrei chachamim." Sheomru the chachamim said that ma'im shein lam soif ishtay asura. You see, it's shy to survive. You see, it's shy to survive. So the divrei cheskel, the sons of Rav's son, when he's in fin sons of Rav, the divrei cheskel says, "Listen," he says. You know what this means? Kamakdil the Chachamim? He says, a gevaldig zach. He says, why? Why did the Chachamim go out of the way to be machmer over here? A man falls into an ocean. No oifim b'derech hateved, how he could ever be saved. Against all logic. Against all sensibilities. And pingdu, they were machmer. The Chachamim said, what? Ishtoy asura. You have to find him dead. You need aides. You need witnesses. Why? So Divrei Cheskel said, you know why? Because b'derech hateved, you're right. If someone would fall into an ocean, he can't come out alive. Once the Chachamim made a halacha that ishtoy asura, why is the wife asura? Because it's shayach that maybe he came out alive somewhere that created a metzias that such a person can find possibly hatzolah and be fine. The Chachamim wanted such a person who finds himself in such a situation to have some siyata d'shamay to come out alive against all odds. How does the siyata d'shamay come about? Through the words of the Chachamim. The fact that Chachamim said that it's shaykh to be saved, ishtoy asura, because maybe he became saved, that made it into a metzias. Kamakdoilim divrei Chachamim, that said that ishtoy asura. So this is the idea of Koponim. So the Tanya goes with the shita that even if it's an ishtoy drabonon, so we go further here, that even if it's an ishtoy drabonon, but the koich of the Chachamim is to make the ishtoy drabonon into an actual iser, and therefore he says, if a person eats an ishtoy drabonon, I feel it be shaygig, says this he cannot elevate to Kiddush anymore because this is connected to Cholish Klippus HaTemeyas. By the way, did you realize when you make a moitzi, I hope people are aware of that, but it says, you know, when you make a moitzi, you put your two hands on the bread. Talokh in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says, Kuf Samaches, it says, to have the ten fingers on the bread. To be meramez the ten mitzvahs that are done till you get the bread. Because in order to have bread, first of all, you have to plow the field. So when you plow the field, you're mekayim loisachroi shor v'chamor yachdos, right? And then you have to plant, right? You plant the seeds. You're mekayim sotchol isizro klayim. Now, it's all about then give leket, shikhopeyim, metrumas, and maizos, the kids skip the chesachesh. But at the end of the day, you have 10 mitzvahs. This tickle bread that you have on the table, you're mekayim 10 mitzvahs. So by putting the two hands on the bread when you're making the moitzi, the remez is that this bread represents 10 mitzvahs, 10 fingers. Everything has an inyan nearby. Sorma Gdoshim say that there's a reason, another inyan. You know why you put two hands on the bread? Because the way you eat is going to determine how you're going to use your hands. Because we're saying now that the achila determines the behavior. Loim boy, if a person eats a davar iser mamish, the teva of the macholas asuras, as is pointed out, even the rishonim, the chinuch already brings it. Right? It's moila timtum esalev, in all of the midas achzorius of the behemoths and the chayes that are osir, go into you. So you can be motivated to practice based upon how you eat. But even if you eat a dover heter, but yidlishem tayvet, veta bal tayvet. So what are you going to use your hands for? To seek tayvet, to do tayvet, to do inyonim and tayvet. The asik of your hands is totally in this piece of bread. What your attitude is going to be to this piece of bread. So you put your two fingers, your two hands, you put onto this piece of bread to show that the bread and the yodayim, which are the klei hamaiser, that these are connected one with the other. This is the connection. So the Tanya goes on further and the Tanya says, azoy, v'lochein, therefore, Gama Yetzahara Vikoyach HaMisavel Edvorim HoAsurim. The Yetzahara, he says, and the forces of Taiva, he says. Where does the Yetzahara and the forces of Taiva come from? That a person's Misavel to eat Dvorim HoAsurim. Why should a person want to eat a Dover Iser? Now he's talking about where a person Taka has a Taiva to a Dover Iser. Till now he mentioned eating a Dover Iser, even Bishoygik. But we're talking about a much worse situation, where a person actually has a Taiva to eat a Dover Iser. Where does it come from? It says the Tanya, it comes from Hushed Mishaden Nechroim. He says this comes from one of the non-Jewish Shadim, one of the non-Jewish Yetzer Haris. In other words, this is Agoisha Yetzer Haris. All of a sudden we become aware there's a Yiddish Yetzer Haris and there's a Goisha Yetzer Haris. You always thought a Yiddish Yetzer Haris, you have Yetzer Haris to Dam for Yomit. That's a Yiddish Yetzer Haris. But it goes beyond that, as you see. There's a lot of other Yiddish Yetzer Haris. That's one of the good ones. That kind of a Yiddish Yetzer Haris. But the Taiv and the Yetzer Haris, he says, for Dvorim Asurim, he says that comes from the Shade Mishadin Uchroim. He says, from the non-Jewish Shadim, Shuhu Yetzer Haris Shalom Asoilam, which is the Yetzer Haris of the nations, Shenapshisayim Isholish Klippas Atmeis. As the Tanya already pointed out, because their souls come from the Isholish Klippas Atmeis, therefore they have a desire after things that are Osir. Because those things that are also come from where are derived from the Sholish Klippas Atmeis, and their Neshomis, their Nefoshes, come from the Sholish Klippas Atmeis. So Amel, it's understandable, they have a desire for this. Because their Neshomis come from the Sholish Klippas Atmeis. The Dvorim Huasurim are also derived from where? From Sholish Klippas Atmeis. So they have a Yetzahara for these things, for Dvorim Huasurim. Sholish Klippas Atmeis, to connect it to other areas of Sholish Klippas Atmeis. Masha Enke, on the other hand, when someone has taiva for dvarim hamutarim, now lemaisa it's a dover heter, but he has taiva for that. Lemalis tavosoi, he's eating it because he has right. He has a craving. He has a craving taiva, so he says to satisfy his taiva. So lemaisa he says this is hushed mishedin yehudoyim. This is what he calls is one of the yiddish yetzaharis. Right, one of the Jewish demons, as it were, which means this is sort of like speak. It's a Jewish evil impulse, if you will. He says, and which means that the koyach achius lemaisa, right? Because the koyach achius of a dover hamuter lemaisa can be elevated to a dover shebikdusha. Levishayocha lagzel lekedusha kliel, because this lemaisa we mentioned already above can be elevated back to kedusha, because being that the machol, the food mitzaratzmoi, is a dover heter, right? So even though it was eaten l'shem taive. And therefore, it was degraded, but lemaisa it can still be elevated because mitzaratzmoi, as we said, it comes from right. Because we said it comes from klipas noiga, which therefore can go in both ways. The question that you might have to ask yourself: if a yid, his neshama has no shayches with the sholish klipas atmeis, his neshama is pointed out. He has two neshamas. On the one hand, we said his neshama, one neshama is the nefesh elikis that he has, that's a chelik elikai mimal. No, not to talk about it. That neshama does not push him, does not entice him, does not cause him any craving for dvorim asurim. But even the second neshama, which is called the animal soul, right? The nefesh abehamis, which a yid also has, but even that, the Tanya said, is from klipas noiget, not from the sholish klipas atmeis, which means it can turn either way. So sof kol sof a yid, even his mitzad is nefesh abehamis, he's still connected to Klipas Noiga, not to the Sholish Klipas Atmeis. Why should he ever have a craving to eat Dvorim Ha'asurim? Dvorim Ha'asurim, after all, come from what? From the Sholish Klipas Atmeis. And the question is, therefore, a Yid, was that a Yiddish in the Shum, he has a Yiddish Yetzer Hara, as we mentioned before. If he has a Yiddish Yetzer Hara, where mitzad the Yiddish Yetzer Hara does he have, right, a taiva to a Dover Iser? And the answer is that the way that he acquires a taiva to a dover iser is by his shikua. He immerses himself in permissible taivas, because taivas already gereris taiva. That's the discipline of how it works in this world. When we say taivas gereris taiva, it doesn't stop dafka, you know, whether it's permissible taivas or this kind of taivas taiva. When a person indulges in taiva in dvorim hamutorim, so it begins taki with a dover heter. It begins with a dover heter, but indulging, allowing himself to indulge over and over again in permissible pleasures, becomes a person who seeks out pleasure. His life is pleasure. It becomes connected to pleasure. And a male of taiva seeks out taiva, and ultimately can lead him even to have a taiva for dvorim ha'asurim. This is the way it's explained. This is the shaykh. This is how it's shaykh that he falls into and has this kind of a yirida. Because although Mitzar Echod, the Tanya pointed out that Dvorim HaSurim comes from the Sholish Klippas Atmeis, from the Goyish Yetzahara, right? Dvorim HaMutarim, that's from the Yiddish Yetzahara. Nu, Ayid Hotach Nishka Goyish Yetzahara. It only has the Yiddish Yetzahara. It only has the Jewish Yetzahara. So how does he come to have a taiva to Dvorim HaSurim? The answer is, being connected, right, and being shakua, immersing himself in permitted pleasures, so that, therefore, this coerces him, right, that he begins also to have taiva even after things that are osur as well, which is totally unnatural. By the way, you know, people can gain habits which are out of their nature, out of their character. People, right, can go to certain cultures, and they can learn certain habits which have no shaykhs to them, which would be totally unnatural to what they are bechlal used to. They're not disposed to. But if you live in a certain culture, right, you are able to adopt habits which is contrary, runs even against your nature. This is the way it works. So the same thing also, that if a person immerses himself in pleasurable, permitted pleasures, so then one tiver is greater than the next tiver, ultimately even the types of tivers which are totally unnatural to him, which are dvorim ha'asurim, which come from the Sholish Klippos HaTameyas. It's pointed out that a Yingamana person had to throw the same Bnei Brak, and he went over to a public telephone, and he throws in a coin, I'll say a dime, you know, whatever, you know, throwing over there. So he throws in his coin there, and falls right down into the box, and no phone call. No dial tone. Nope. He lost his dime. No, he has a cheshem, the phone company owes me a call. All right, no, how's he going to get it? Okay, so what happens is, it's a week later, yep, so he has to make another phone call. So he goes, and goes and picks up a public phone, a different one, and realizes this was a broken phone. You could make all calls for free. You know, those are consistent. Those happen. Continuous dial tone. Now, he knew for sure he's an El Chayit. Yeah, this is a gazela. Just because the phone, you know, is broken, doesn't mean that you're allowed to make calls for free. You have to pay for each call. Not to steal, just because payers are out in the front and you can take it, doesn't mean, right? So that he knew for sure, not allowed to make extra phone calls. But the phone call company owes him one call. So the pashtus, he's allowed to make one call for free, right? Skim to him. Before he did it, I don't know why, what prompted him, but the mice says, the way it is, he went and he asked the stipler, he says, can I go ahead and make this call without throwing in a dime? Yes, Simone. The stipler said, listen, he says, Mikra din you allowed to, but I think it's best not. Why? Because the first phone call you're going to do beheter, the next one, the iser. It's so tempting. You have another call. You have another call to me. It's all right there in front of you. This is the idea. It's just like Taiva Guerrero's Taiva. First one is permissible, but one just leads to the other. This is what the Tanya points out. So Mamela, it's Shaykh, of course. It's Shaykh. Those situations that have been degraded through Dvorim Hamutorim that were eaten in L'Shem Taiva, Ach Mekol Mokim, but nevertheless, Koidim Shechozel Kedusha, means before. Yes, there's a possibility, as we say, that you can elevate those things. But Mekoidim Shechozel Kedusha, who Sitra Achru Klippa. But nevertheless, before it reverts back to Kedusha, it's part of Sitra Achra. Sitra Achra means the other side, of course, the forces of Tumah, and it's part of Klippa. And the Tanya goes on further. Vegam Achekach, and this is something that I mentioned in the previous parak as well. Harishimu Memenu Nisha Dovi Beguf. And he says, the Tanya says that even afterwards, when a person does tshuva, he elevates the energy of the machal to Kedusha, but there is a trace. This is a very frightening thing. There's a trace of it. So there's a trace of it which remains attached, he says, Nishadovik Beguf. Why? Why is the trace of it still attached to the guf? Liois, because since Kikol Machal Omashke, because what is the guf made up? You are what you eat. So Kikol Machal Omashke Nasa Tekev Dam Ubosar Mipsori. Any item of food that a person eats and he drinks, right? Anything that he ingests immediately becomes part of his blood and flesh. So since the food that he eats becomes a chelik of his boss of Adam, so what kind of a boss of Adam does he have? He has a boss of Adam based upon what kind of the food he ingested. And if the food that he ingested was a food that is connected, has been degraded, that has been connected to Sitra Achra and Klippa, that means that his goof also therefore has in it, right, Yenikis, and has in it Rishimis of Sitra Achra and Klippa. And therefore, being that this became part of the goof, so tzarech haguf lechibut hakever. That is the reason why the body, after 120, has to undergo what's called chibut hakever. Chibut hakever, you know, just in a very, very simple way of understanding it. Chibut hakever is like, you take a mattress, right? Meklap the sauce, right? You bang it to get the dust out, right? That's called chibut hakever. But this is the guf. This is what happens to the guf. So to get rid of all the impurities, in order to cleanse it, lenakoisoi, utaharoi, to cleanse it and to purify it, metumosoi, right, of the tumah shekibul b'hanoas oilam hazeh v'tanuga, that it received from the mundane, right, pleasures of this world. He said, as we pointed out, mitumas klipas noiga v'shedin yudon, from the kosher yetzer hara. So ultimately, even though he's able to elevate it to kedusha, but there will be traces left in the guf, right? There will be traces left in the guf. Mitzad his neshama will be fine, but mitzad the guf. He says the only way that you can survive chibut hakever, he says, you can avoid chibut hakever, is Eloi says imkein mishloi nehene me'olam hazeh kol yomav. Who do you have that? Kerabenu hakodesh, Rabbeinu hakodesh, Rebbe, the Masada of the Mishnayos. He says only a person who never derived, he says, mundane pleasures, he says, that notice all of his actions, all of his ma'isim are always completely l'shem shemayim, for mitzvah and kedusha. Then there's no chibut hakever. Rabbeinu HaKodesh, as we find Rabbeinu HaKodesh. Rabbeinu HaKodesh, you know, was Mitzarechot, who was a big Oisher, who was very rich. And the Gemara tells us that before his Patira, he raised Esar as a voice of 10 fingers. And what did he say? That Rabbeinu Shlomo did not have Hanoa Moila Mazeh Ke'edzba Ketana. No, Miyid Meloi, who can compare himself to Rabbeinu HaKodesh? But it's Shaykh, we think that things are impossible. But this is what we find like Rabbeinu HaKodesh. This is a tremendous Madrega. Whenever basically said he was not in the hand of them of this world, Bechlau. So this type of an avodah, this type of a life, does not have to undergo what's called the chibut hakever, the purification of the grave. But otherwise, anybody else who does not attain that level has to undergo this situation in order to purify the body of the traces, right, of the uncleanliness that was received through the immersion into taiva. Let me just point out, that's why it's mentioned in Sfarim HaKadoshim Shem, the Arizal, that somebody taka who is nifter taka on Friday Erev Shabbos, right, especially after Chatzos, one of the big milas is that he's nitzel from Chibut HaKever, because the Kedusha of the Zman, the Kedusha of Shabbos, so that's a very big zgula, a particular time which a person can be nitzel from all of these other things. So Kaponim, so again, so we have more of a little bit of insight, and we see again of the tremendous Madregas, and we see that everything that we do, how it affects both our neshomas and also our bodies as well, and we see that the purification process that the guf will have to undergo. And as we come further talk in the Tanya, we will see and we will learn more about how we can able to deal with these situations. And again, and to know a little bit ma choivas odom boilomoy, to be able to strive to higher heights and avodas Hashem in every area of Olam HaZeh.